Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view. Remember, you can also send me a tweet to EGBERTOWILLIES. That is at Egberto Williams. Let us engage. It is politics done right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I've been away a while, so you've been listening to pre-recorded KPFT Politics Done Right shows, but I am back and I'm happy to be back. How are you guys doing today? I trust that you're all doing very well. Well, what do I have to start with? I mean, I started with a blog that I placed on Coffee Party's site today that seems to be getting a whole lot of action, if you will. It seems like a whole lot of people are taken aback by what the Pope had to say in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, including when he gave a little bit of kudos to El Señor, the Presidente of Bolivia. Anyhow, Pope Francis is on a roll in his part, you know, in his part of the world, South America. He is in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Pope Francis had choice words for unbridled capitalism. In fact, he spoke the words of revolution by the downtrodden. Think about that. We have a Pope. I mean, he's not saying the word revolution, but if you take a look at what the man is saying, he's saying a lot of things that we've been saying for a long time. A lot of these groups that are out there, we're saying it is time to get busy before you're taken under completely. It is time, yes, we have to do the things like getting money out of politics and electoral reform, but it's starting to become rather deeper. Greece is probative. The Pope is rather consistent in his support for the poor, the downtrodden, and the middle class. So that any other Pope or religious, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a religious figure that has taken these types of positions. I tell you what, I think we should be amused. I think we should be happy. I think we should say we know there is a Pope that finally has the back of the average citizen. But most importantly, I think we better have this Pope's back. This Pope is actually speaking a whole lot of stuff that makes me wonder what the plutocracy is going to do about his well-being. But that's another subject. That's another day. We'll take that at another time. But I am concerned because of the frankness of this Pope. But you know what time it is?
It's time for the weekly blog post.
Well, today's blog post, I actually called it Rush Limbaugh Explodes as Pope Francis Slams on Brittle Capitalism and Urges Revolution by the Downtrodden. I kind of gave it a touchy title. I was hoping that it turned people on to actually get to it and read it. You know, it's hard as hell to get folks to read all these things that you want them to read on the internet. Well, when you have substantive things to talk about, sometimes that's even harder. But here goes the blog. It is clear now. Pope Francis is a vocal revolutionary, while others are methodical and deflective in the manner in which they effect revolutions, however small. The Pope is likely causing much angst among plutocrats, oligarchs, and fascists throughout the world. Pope Francis is, in the past, have referred to unfettered capitalism as the new tyranny. While many evangelicals have adopted a selfish, unbridled capitalism as their god, the Pope, true to form, continues to channel the true biblical Jesus. Pope Francis is currently in Bolivia. He addressed participants of the Second World Meeting of Popular Movements, an international body that brings together organizations of people that include the poor and the downtrodden in Santa Cruz. The democratically elected Bolivian President Evo Morales' speech preceded the Pope's. The Pope praised President Evo Morales for effecting social reforms that spread the wealth throughout the country. It was not long before the right exploded from the Pope's remarks following his Rush Limbaugh's hyperventilation. And I won't play that because I didn't have enough time to get the MP3 loaded, but he slams the Pope and then conflates the Pope's words and attack on brittle capitalism to excoriate President Obama. What did Rush say? I think I wrote it out here in another figure here, but I can't get to it for some reason. But anyhow, let me continue. Actually, my system just locked up, but let me continue. Quoting a 4th century bishop, he called, the Pope spoke in no uncertain terms. He was forceful, very forceful, unapologetic, unprincipled, and direct, according to The Guardian. He made the following statements. Quoting a 4th century bishop, he called the unfettered pursuit of money the dung of the devil. Think about that. The dung of the devil. Anyhow, let us not be afraid to say it. We want change, real change, structural change, the Pope said, decrying a system that has imposed the mentality of profit at any price with no concern for social exclusion or the destruction of nature. Now, as I just mentioned, my system just froze up, so I can't get to the rest of the pro. So while I'm pulling up another system to read that, let's have a little chat here. And it goes as follows. What do you think the Pope is actually thinking? Do you think the Pope believes that somehow something can happen, that he can make a difference? I think so. I think the Pope is well within his realm. He knows. He actually knows what is going on. He actually knows that we the people are actually starting to make a difference. He knows that. So in the process of what he's doing throughout the world, he is trying to let the masses understand. The masses know that, yes, in fact, he has got your back. Yes, in fact, he understands what's going on. So I kind of mentioned this a while back, where I actually stated that I believe the Pope just maybe going a bit ahead of himself. And when I speak about going a bit ahead of himself, what I'm talking about is that the Pope may not quite understand the forces that are there to ensure that this structure remains. And when I spoke earlier about having the Pope's back, that is exactly what I was talking about. Because this Pope, with the stances that he's taken on capitalism, is in real danger. This Pope, with the stances that he continues to take, is in real danger. It is something that we all will have to mitigate. And by the way, folks, I'm coming up on my pros here, the remainder of the pros that I wanted to read while I had to sort of hyperventilate about. Here it goes. The system is by now intolerable. Farm workers find it intolerable. Laborers find it intolerable. Communities find it intolerable. Peoples find it intolerable. The earth itself, our sister, Mother Earth, as Saint Francis would say, also finds it intolerable. He said in an hour-long speech that was interrupted by applause. Look, the Pope also excoriated the banking system and entities demanding austerity. The pontiff appeared to take a swipe at the International Monetary Fund, organizations such as the IMF, and the development aid policies by some developing countries. No actual or established power has the right to deprive peoples of full exercise of their sovereignty. Whenever they do so, we see the rise of new forms of colonialism, which seriously prejudice the possibility of peace and justice. The new colonialism takes on different faces. At times, it appears as the anonymous influence of mammoth corporations, loan agencies, certain free trade treaties, and the imposition of measures of austerity, which always tighten the belt of workers and the poor. The Pope provided a strong defense of labor unions. He asked for forgiveness of the church and for the crimes committed throughout the Americans against the true Americans, the people native to these lands. The Pope is a man of principles. Unlike religious leaders who have attempted to find biblical reasons to support selfish policies, economies, and institutions, the Pope shows what Jesus must have looked like to the Pharisees. Way to go, Pope Francis. Way to go. Way to go. Anyhow, folks, the telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I want you to give me a call. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss what you think about the Pope, and let's try to get this conversation a bit deeper. There's a lot I have to say. I'm a little bit having a little bit of technical problems, but we kind of got those resolved, I hope. Anyhow, I see, hey, my friend, 620, come on in. Who do I have the honor of speaking with?
You talking to me?
Yes, sir.
It's Jack Golding.
I figured that, Jack.
Very inspired by this Pope. I mean, this is a great step forward. The Catholic Church is going with the people.
Right.
Yeah. And it's another breakdown of barriers, just as the Confederate flag went down in South Carolina. It's another revolution. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let me think. Now they need to work with the Muslim, the more moderate Muslim community. Have to fight terrorist groups like ISIS and things like that. And maybe put some balls on Congress. In the name of political correctness.
You know what is interesting, Jack? The Pope will be in town, I guess, in 3 months or so. So I think he's going to actually
September 26th or something like that. I hear.
He'll be here to address Congress. Yes, he'll be here to address Congress.
They're having a big spread on MSNBC on the 26th of September about the environment and all that other stuff.
Right.
Another thing to do is to, and I hear some encouraging words about solar power.
Right.
They're in California, especially. It's getting cheaper now to, it's competing with natural gas, and especially coal will be go the way of the horse and buggy, I think, within the next 10, 15 years.
Right.
That's another now, prediction, I think.
You're correct. You know, all of that with
and,
the environment.
And also, I think Hillary Clinton, if elected, will start a revolution in the...
I don't know about that,
thinking.
But...
yeah, well, I hope so.
Well, let me tell you where I want to go. I want to stick with the Pope for right now, and I know
yeah,
the Pope has
the
been
Pope,
very heavy.
And the Pope, I think, will work with other religions as to
well, actually,
get them
together. You don't have to think,
work with
Jack,
the Jews, work with the Muslims, and
right, Jack,
work
Jack,
with Protestants.
Right, Jack, let me, he has, the Pope has already begun working with all these other religions. In fact, he's one of the popes that have been celebrated into going into Palestine and these other places to work with the people. But anyhow, folks, the telephone number is 646-929-2495. I would really like to hear from some of you. 646-929-2495. If you'd like to have a word, please make sure to push the number one. The Pope made some rather interesting statements, and I wrote another blog this morning because Rush Limbaugh hyperventilated over the statements that the Pope made on brittle capitalism. And, you know, this isn't the first time the Pope has spoke about this. The Pope has actually, a few months ago, spoke about unfettered capitalism and the evils of unfettered capitalism. So this is just a next step. He was in his element because, again, he was in Bolivia, where he was in the presence of Evo Morales, who is a devout, what would I call, democratic socialist that is actually trying to be more equitable with the resources of his nation in order to ensure that his population don't suffer the same demise of populations where the spoils. Let's take a look at how Venezuela used to be. Let's take a look at all these oil countries where just the elite are profiting from the resources. Now, let me go to 412. 412, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, Egberto. It's Greg Rusak. How are you?
Mr. Rusak, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's an interesting topic you have this morning.
Yes,
and
sir.
One of the questions that occurs to me as I think about what's happening and the reaction that I seem to be seeing is there any kind of evidence as to where the objections to what the Pope is saying is coming from? And when I ask that question, obviously I'm thinking about things always in a very socio-political way. And so mm-hmm. it occurs to me that where the resistance to the Pope's message, whether it's about climate science, whether it's about economics or capitalism in particular, I was raised a Catholic. I'm an atheist now. I was taught as a child that the Pope is the Pope in many ways because of divine intervention, that the Pope is a spokesperson in human form inspired by Jin God.
Right.
So the question I have to ask the naysayers has to be, how can you pick and choose? How can you even disagree with what is in your belief system, in your religion, an individual who is as close to divine as ostensibly any of us could ever get? And so whether you agree with the Pope and his scientific views, whether you agree with him in his economic views, whether you agree with him in his social views, you have to, I think, if you're a believer, you have to toe that line. You can't pick and choose. You don't get to disagree. I'm a big fan of disagreement. I'm just trying. I'm putting it on the people who appear to me to be mostly white, mostly conservative, mostly American, who are shills for big money who are professing that this Pope ought to stick to religion and not worry himself with things like the environment and the actual stewardship that God presumably gave us over this planet, not care about one another the way Christ ostensibly taught us to care about one another. That is the height of hypocrisy. I'm not going to let it go unchallenged.
And you know what? It is important that you do not let it go unchallenged. And that is one of the reasons that out of this thing came two blog posts. But anyway, it's interesting of what you said. Let's remember that there was an alliance. It was a strategic alliance made between the preachers of unfettered capitalism, mostly the business right wing and the democratic, I don't want to call them blue dogs because all blue dogs are not created equal. But this was an unholy alliance. They figured they could control a whole set of people with certain social issues. You know, the reality is this. The plutocrats don't really care anything about social issues because social issues don't affect them. They can do whatever they want to do because whatever problems they have, they simply go to a country where they can be served. So, I mean, they successfully made a calculation. We could divide this country in such a manner that we could use the religious zealots that we believe are religious zealots and use them to our benefit to attain the type of goals that we want to attain. In this case, it was in fact unfettered capitalism, trickle-down economics. All of those things fall into the same basket. However, there's something that happened, Greg, and this is quite interesting what happened. One would think that because they co-opted the religious right, and that the religious right, to some extent, one would believe, has some modicum of morality, that at least the religious right would attempt to keep their morality. But then what happened is you got folks like Dave Ramsey. Have you ever heard of Dave Ramsey before, Greg?
I know the name, but I don't know the context.
Dave Ramsey is a devout Christian who tries to teach Christians how to live within their means and how to prosper. And I wrote a blog and a video where he wrote a book, in effect stating that it is ungodly for the state to demand the types of taxes they're demanding for redistribution. And he tries to put in biblical terms that somehow enriching oneself ad nauseum is somehow biblical and what God wants for you. So in effect, it was really the plutocracy not only co-opting the religious right, but they were actually allowing a change in what became moral. They created a change in what became right. They actually changed what Jesus actually represented. So when the Pope comes out and he goes to Bolivia or he goes to all these other places and he starts to preach, and by the way, you're an atheist, I'm a humanist, so we're pretty much darn close to where we're at from a religious standpoint. Though my wife is a deacon, and I do respect Christians and anybody else who wants to have a religion. That's their business. That's their choice. However,
right. I don't care what you believe in, as long as you don't try to legislate that mythological belief into law. I don't care what you believe in.
Absolutely. And that's what we must, that is what we must demand, that everybody must have that freedom to be whomever they want to be, pray to whomever they want to pray or not pray to, or do whatever they want. But having this Pope come in and actually be really biblical in his teachings, but not only that, become what can, if you listen to his speech from 2 days ago, you cannot help but realize that the Pope is asking the poor, the downtrodden, and those that are aggrieved to actually become revolutionaries. I'm not saying violent revolution or anything like that, but he's demanding or asking them to get out there and make the changes. In other words, don't be sitting back waiting for some Messiah. You have to get out there and make the changes. And then you hear that into a lot of the words that came out of his speeches, Greg?
Yeah, I've caught bits and pieces of it, but yeah, it does seem to be that the underlying theme of the message, which, again, from my experience, not as an adult, but as a child in being indoctrinated into a particular kind of belief system, was that if you're going to listen to anybody on earth, you got to listen to this guy, because he's got a direct channel and a pipeline, and he's inspired by the Lord. You can't have it both ways. And so the only reason that the conversation even has to go in this direction is because people want to be what, when I was a kid, used to be called cafeteria Catholics.
Right.
You got to pick and choose what laws and rules and edicts and things like that you were going to follow. That's the only way this kind of propaganda can be perpetuated and to a large extent accepted by the right. I don't know where the ideological lines get drawn. I know I live on the left. I live on the extreme left. I don't hear anything on the extreme left chastising the Pope for pointing out that if you're going to believe in a Christian God, you were given stewardship of this planet. You got to take care of it. You got to take care of one another. And we don't see much evidence of that coming from conservatives. In fact, it's just the opposite. And so when somebody like Rick Santorum, who wants to make my son's life illegal, says we don't have to listen to this guy on this issue, I'm calling bullshit, because you're being a hypocrite.
You couldn't have said it any better. It's interesting. What I was trying to get to earlier about something Rush Limbaugh said, and I know it's sort of a ridiculous to quote Rush Limbaugh, but I really wanted to do so here. He said the following: have you ever heard of unfettered capitalism? You ever heard of unfettered Marxism? What is this unfettered capitalism? It's just more bastardization of language to denigrate the greatest economic system yet devised that creates prosperity for the most and opportunity for everybody. And because it does that, it must be reviled. It must be impugned. It must be destroyed. So you put the word unfettered in front of it. Folks, whenever, and by the way, remember this is a call-in show, 646-929-2495. If you want to speak, please push the number 1 so that I can know that I need to call on you. Again, if you want to speak, please push the number 1. Before I get to 210, let me just say something that I wrote in a blog post today. I said, could it be that Rush Limbaugh is oblivious to what unfettered capitalism is? In fact, Rush is a beneficiary of much that unfettered capitalism is all about. The riches he is afforded for misinforming gullible Americans are part of the immoral enrichment at all cost on brittle capitalism that Pope Francis was talking about. Rush Limbaugh further attempts to convince his audience that many criticize the current implementation of capitalism because it helps many. Does that make any sense? It is as silly an argument as those stating that those others over there hate us because of our freedom. It is a bait and switch technique that we must fight against, lest people absorb factless facts. If our brand of capitalism was improving the lives of most, then one could not buy support for anyone speaking out against it. In the insular view of many, examining outside of one's sphere is seldom done. That is dangerous, as it is the fuel and fertilizer for revolution. 210, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Yeah, this is John from San Antonio. Good afternoon, Huberto.
John, how are you doing, my brother?
Good, good.
Talk to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. One thing that I think is very important, I saw Kathleen Parker, I know she wrote a blog about her about a week ago when she was comparing Trump and Bernie Sanders. So,
oh, ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, and so, when she was on Alex Wagner's show yesterday, you know, she was saying how she's not a Catholic, but she was saying how, you know, she really admired this Pope because he was trying to get at the heart of Christian virtues. And, you know, I'm an agnostic myself, but was raised Catholic like Greg. And so, I have mixed feelings about the Pope. I mean, I think what he's doing is great, but, you know, I just don't believe in dogma. But, I mean, since billions of people do, I guess, you know, he's helping those people. The point she kept making, though, she made it like two or three times.
Wait, hold on a second, John. I bet I know what you're going to say. She tried to make it a thing that is not party wise, that he's not speaking from the left. But go ahead. Let's see if that's what you said.
Right. That's exactly what she said. She says, well, she took it even to a more, she says, this is not a political statement. And I mean, which is, it's absolutely ridiculous because,
yes.
I mean, it is totally a political statement. It is in it, you know, and if you are trying to deny this, you know, I mean, it's really, you know, you're really not in touch with reality. I mean, he wants to have governments. I mean, he may not be specific about, you know, well, I support, you know, Denmark or I support Norway or, you know, something to that extent. But, I mean, he's very specific about, you know, having poor people have more power and trying to eliminate poverty, which is, you know, pretty much a Christian virtue known throughout various forms of Christianity. And so to say that this isn't political is just, you know, absurd. And it's going to be a very interesting when the Pope does talk about, addresses Congress and specifically how the Republicans react to them, you know, because there's so much false information on the economy that's coming out there. I mean, what I listened to the thing that you had where Rush was talking about. He's talking about how terrible the economy is, and this Trump goes on the same themes, and so does Jeb Bush.
Right.
Going on and on about how terrible the economy. Unemployment is at 5.3%. Now, income inequality is still a major problem, but what has contributed the most to income inequality? Supply side or trickle down economics has done this, and that's what we need to eliminate.
I want to interrupt you for one specific reason, John, because I don't want to forget to make this point to our listeners, because this is extremely important. You know, with the good numbers that are coming out for employment, et cetera, it is imperative for Republicans, because they believe that they're already at a disadvantage from a demographic standpoint, that they must try to dethrone what is a potential success. So they have done nothing to stimulate the economy, and we're still in a positive realm. But most importantly, there's a number they like to hit on, and that is the amount of people that are actually within the workforce. I don't remember what that is called, not utilization rate. I don't remember. It's something equivalent to the utilization rate in factories speak. But what they don't tell you, and this is very important, one of the reasons it is baked in that we are going to see less people going to work as a percentage of the country is that the baby boomers, which was a humongous mass of people, are starting to retire. And the only way to mitigate that is to say, okay, we're going to start asking people who were used to retiring as a country, we were used to retiring at between 60 and 62 or whatever, to start working more. That's the only way you're going to really get a marginal increase in the amount of people working. And no, you don't see them mentioning that on the news media or anything like that. The reason those numbers are down is because baby boomers are retiring. That plays a significant part in those numbers being down. Go ahead, John.
No, that's absolutely right. And I mean, of course, the people, you know, who are aware of that should be mentioning it. You're right, though. It's not being mentioned enough. But I mean, this is on right wing, media. this is talked about all the time. It's drilled in. How about that workforce? And they never mention the baby boomers retiring. So that's a very good point. I mean, we had a week where Jeb Bush was talking about 4% growth, which hasn't happened in such a long time. And the projections, like Thomas Piketty's book, you know,
right.
they're actually supposed to go down worldwide. I mean, what he's talking about is that we have to get over this idea that growth is gonna come back to the way it was, let's say, between the period of the 50s and the 70s, which was the greatest economic period ever. And so, you know, we really need to understand that you know, this, we have to adjust. We have to adjust to you know, the money isn't gonna be there, but we can still live, you know, lives that have great fulfillment, and we can still, you know, love one another. And we don't have to do this great changing. I mean, that's what happened in the 70s. All of a sudden, growth went down, and we started saying, well, we've got to change our whole system. I mean, this happened in Europe. This happened in America. Oh, my God, growth is down. It's terrible. The world is crumbling.
But
it
you
wasn't
know what?
Crumbling.
John, the thing about it is, what we've proven actually, right, is growth is not for the average American citizen, right? Because if you take a look at growth, we have been growing, but it's just that the average American citizen or the average world citizen hasn't been a benefactor of said growth. And for all practical purposes, I'm coming to you next, 413. For all practical purposes, the beneficiary of the growth have been a few, but we're still pretty happy. The first of all, growth is our economy is a figment of a man's imagination, right? In other words, if we can grow food, if we can build things or whatever, it means that the only thing that controls how these things are, or rather, how to mitigate or to do these things is a man-made created economy. It so happened that we've created the economy in such a manner, created an economic structure in such a manner that we disadvantage a group of folk. We could revamp the entire economic system based on completely different theories that actually makes it a whole lot better. Stick with me, John. I'm leaving both you and Greg hot, but I want to bring 413 in. 413, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Great day to you. I'm a one of the New Englanders. Actually, my first time calling in. I'm loving the conversation. Sorry that I came in late. Just call
That's
me
right,
Brother
name,
G.
Sir. I forgot your name, sir.
Okay. Brother G. How about that? Just Brother G. Is that okay?
G. Talk to me.
All right. Very, very well. Hey, listen. Now, I'm a man of color, but I got to say this because I'm trying to understand a lot of the church and state that's really going on. Is
right.
It fair to say that the curator, is really coming back into his authority because the courtocracy or the corporate no longer respect the laws that have been written, also dealing with the canons? Now, what I'm getting at is this. And I'm not trying to use old language. I wish I could modernize it, but I can only look at it to what was going on. Remember, the
right.
Protestants were the ones who had to break away from the Inquisition in order to come over here upon the land to govern themselves. That the British Empire now runs everything. Let's go where I'm trying to go. But
right.
the Empire did take care of everybody. They took care of the people. Okay. Now, I'm saying the swindling of the people through the money. Now the pontiff is coming back saying, wait a minute, you guys are abusive. Not only to the, I think, did he say environmental? And shouldn't you include the people at the environmental, meaning that we're so tried? And then you said something that was so important, that we will have to continue our obligation to duty, a.k.a. taxes, because we won't be able to afford to retire early. So there goes the bondage, there goes the slavery, that how it was set up that we were able to, right, and don't get me wrong, I say man of color because I'm old enough to understand Jim Crow laws, you know, how I was really abolished later on to 63. You know what I'm saying? But,
yes,
but my
sir.
Point is, as everybody's now trying to eat from the pie is shrinking because of the corporate. So now
let me just say one thing. No problem, Brother G. I think I get exactly the gist of what you're trying to say. And I think you've actually made there's a very important point that you've made in there. I mean, that that I think I want to expand it more for our audience to hear, because I don't think a lot of people see it that way. You equate corporatism ignoring the laws of the land. And that is exactly what's happening. We do not want, the corporate entity is now stateless. In other words, we're reaching the point where we are stateless. In other words, the corporation is attempting to be preeminent. And in its preeminence, America means nothing, UK means nothing. You have to remember, even in the days of UK, how much did the UK mean versus the Indian, what was it called? The Indian Corporation.
East Indian Company, right.
So what we're becoming, sir, is a stateless world. When President Obama, and I think, look, I respect President Obama, but I think he is over his head on international economics, or he sold his soul for something we don't know yet. And what I mean by that is, in signing the Trans-Pacific Partnership and all the types of deals that Clinton signed, Reagan signed, and all these guys signed, we are coming up, and it's funny that it is the Republicans who are supporting this, because we are coming up on a one world government, and this one world government are those guys that meet in Davos every year. Davos, Switzerland every year, those corporate magnates, that's where we're heading to, where the laws created by the states, individual states, and state, I don't mean state of the United States, but states like Croatia, Panama, the United States, Brazil, etc., means absolutely nothing anymore. That's why go ahead, come on in.
I got to say this. You got me smiling, and you have clarity, man. I'm loving the show. I'm going on mute. You're saying everything that I wanted to hear. Absolutely. And now, because there's not a balance, state don't know what to do. So here come the pontiff, but they're ignoring the pontiff too. So now, where are the laws that really govern us as the commoners? You know, I don't care how you want to look at it, subjects or whatever, but where is the universal law? Where is that law they got rid of? Now, they don't want to hear the pontiff. And I'm not trying to get religious, but to the means of our own destruction, don't blame the people. Don't blame the small people. It's you jokers at the top who really don't get it. I'm going on mute, man. You are saying it. You're on fire. Go ahead,
okay,
brother.
Let
do
me
your
just
thing.
Say, brother G, and as much as, look, as Greg stated and as John stated, we believe, and not only believe, we have faith that everybody should practice whatever religion, whatever that makes them happy. So you don't have to qualify that you're coming from a religious perspective when you're talking on this show, because you're respected. And by the way, in as much as I'm a humanist, my wife is a deacon. So you can imagine the type of conversations we have in the house. But anyhow, thank you for calling, and stay on listening. Now, it's interesting, John, because what Brother Jesus has to say when he said, "What about us commoners?" is exactly what the Pope addressed in his statement when he spoke with Evo Morales. And that is, people have to get up. And that is exactly when he said, the downtrodden has to demand what is theirs now. He didn't say it in quite those words, but in effect, he said, the downtrodden have to get up now, because that's the only way it's going to happen. Now, you know, guys, my little tiny piece is to do some of these shows, blog, and try to convince people, work with people one-on-one. I know Greg, you're still out there in the field doing your thing. I read what you're putting out there. I think you're doing an important service. One of the other services we all have to do, however, and become a lot better at it, multiply ourselves.
Hello.
Hey, Berto, we can't hear you. John, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Brother G, you still there?
Can you hear me?
Conversation.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, sir. I'm still here.
Yeah. We lost Inferno.
He listen, y'all are on fire, man. That's my first time I'm saying, just really tuning in. I'm loving the conversation. I'll continue to plug in. I think I'm going to make you a part of my permanent number. I love it. What do you think?
Yeah, he does a show on... Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, he does a show on KPFT in Houston specific, a station at 3 p.m. Central, which is also great, and he puts that on his podcast. So those shows are very good also. Get a wide range, more of kind of the typical person. This is more of kind of his fan base, even though we do disagree with him sometimes, and we'll state our
opinion. Yes, you disagree with me all the time.
He's back. Okay.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know what happened because I can still hear you, hear all of you, but we had a little problem.
Brother Roberto, before you go forward, can I say one last thing? You know,
yes,
sometimes, and this is what I'm trying to do, even with my own, because I'm also trying to do, I have little ones, I'm trying to do the homeschooling, you know, trying to make mm-hmm. sense of my children with the ability to think other than be trained.
Yes, sir.
When you try to bring this language or bring this understanding to those who might want to wake up and say, do their part, when I say, and I'm not trying to look at the revisionaries or the revisionists as trying to be a bad thing, but people say, nah, man, we don't talk like that. They don't do it like that anymore. We don't really need to hear that anymore. Nah, you're in the past. Let that go. What is your thought in that we don't really know the language, so when it does, when it trickles down to us, like the Rush Limbaughs, who can fool us under the emotions, what's your take on that? Because that's what we're dealing with, not knowing the language anymore.
Right. Let me tell you a lot of what I do personally first. The first thing I work on, and I tell people this all the time, and folks, if for some reason this mic starts working again and you hear double talk, let me know, because I can't know for sure. But here's what I do. I try to tell folks, first of all, before we can start listening to anybody or what anybody tells us, we have to acknowledge our personal worth. So what I do in the beginning, before I start any conversation, and you'll hear me talk a lot about that on the radio as well, and I've written several blogs on that, is I try to let folks know that because somebody is wearing a suit and calls himself a stockbroker, a financial manager, he is not the end all. Do you follow what I mean by that?
Yes.
Yes. I want to make sure that, because what happens a lot of times is we in America and in other places, we have learned to worship personalities. I think because we have learned to worship personalities like the Rush Limbaughs, like the Bill Gates or the Warren Buffetts, we then take their word as gospel. And because we then take their word as gospel, we're then able to make mistakes when they decide that they want to lead us astray. So what I try to tell folks is you take no one as gospel. You don't take a word I say as gospel, John or Greg or anything. You make sure that you are able to research whatever anyone tells you, and do your job. Don't depend on others to be your sole source of information. Let me tell you, I do a lot of radio, okay? And I have learned so much from the people who call into my shows, okay? I am going to tell you, I'm going to learn from you. And what am I going to learn from you? I'm going to learn from you how I need to speak to another set of folk. I'm going to learn from John how I need to speak to other people. John is also himself a bastion of information. Greg is a bastion of information. When they give me information, I go ahead and I research it as well and move forward that. We have to really, and the great thing about it is we now have the tools. Social media, one of the reasons the corporations have now been trying to get rid of net neutrality, which means
equal access to the internet, it could be broken down into equal access to the internet, is that every single entity on that internet now becomes a voice piece, a point of information. And knowledge is the biggest fear of the corporatocracy, because an informed people cannot be taken advantage of. And that's the biggest fear in our society today. So going back to your initial question as far as how to deal with people saying changing the language. I don't care about changing the language. You don't need to care about somebody telling you they're changing the language. If there's something you need to understand and you need someone to rephrase it, you tell them you rephrase that until you understand it. If somebody don't like the way you're interpreting something, too bad. And you continue to do it because you're trying to make your point. So remember, we are all of us are a part of this society, and all of us have that right to be a part of this society and to be a full-fledged part of this society. You want to add anything?
Like that. Great. Yeah, that was good. Thank you.
Greg, you want to add anything to that? I know you're a big proponent of speaking up yourself.
Yes, I am. And I guess I echo what you say, for sure. To be well-informed and well-educated, to not let intentional lies or misinformation go unchallenged, no matter where it comes from, no matter where you hear it, no matter who says it to you. And I include friends and family in that list. I think the other thing that I would also encourage everyone to do, and that is vote. And I don't mean just in presidential elections. What matters more to you probably in your life on a day-to-day basis is who's on your school board. Because now in Texas, they're going to teach different, they're going to lie to kids about slavery. And that happens because people like us don't vote. There are more of us than there are of them. We just don't get activated.
That is so true. And I think we need to stress something that you just said, Greg. You know, a lot of us only think about presidential elections, and I am guilty in a lot. First of all, I vote in every election, local and national. But in a lot of the shows that I do, a lot of times I do it on a national level. And I don't think, even though it's on the national level, that we specify enough times what Greg just said. And that is, you must participate in every single level of this democracy, from the school board right up to your community. If you live in a community that has one of those HOAs, homeowners association, everywhere you must participate so that your voice is heard. So I think I wanted to just add that little expansion or making it a little bit more clear, Greg's point. John, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I agree completely with Greg. And also, I want to take it to a different level. I mean, what people have to remember is that, you know, you may be in poverty, but your vote, if you choose to vote, counts just as much as one of the Koch brothers' votes, or just as much as Sheldon Adelson or any of those other people. And the more people realize that, the more that things are going to change in this country. Now, you hear the right saying all this stuff about, oh, people just want free stuff. It's not about free stuff. It's about basic human needs. People have human needs. Everyone should have the right to health care, no matter how poor they are. And we have to change our attitude towards taxes to where we understand that is more important than somebody having, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. And right now, America doesn't realize that. They're not able to grasp that. And so that's very important. And so, you know, it also applies to school. It's the same thing. All the school debt that's plaguing all of the people who are in debt, you know, $100,000, $50,000, and they're starting life out, and I mean, they're in a hole. I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. It wasn't that way. It's only that way because people, rich people have influenced people to think that that it has to be that way, and that taxes are so horrible that that they shouldn't be paying them, and so that's the some of the issues that really people should understand, that they do have a voice. They just have to express that voice.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better, John. So first of all, I welcome you to the show, G. It was a pleasure having you. And please go ahead and inform other folks within your own social media about what we are doing, because what we want to do is we want to grow a movement. We want to ensure that people feel empowered to do things. Now, I want to add a little bit to what John had to say, because when he talks about giveaways, a lot of people like to throw that in the faces of, let's say, liberal folks or Democratic folks or liberal Republicans or whatever. Oh, you just want free stuff. It's not about wanting free stuff. It's about wanting your worth. And that is a very important concept. And when I talk about trying to stress to people their worth, firstly, is because until you know that you deserve and you're valuable, when you know you deserve and you're valuable, somebody tells you you're trying to get free stuff, when you know you're busting your butt, it no longer works, and it allows you to fight on. And that is what I'm talking about, fighting on. Whenever they tell you you want free stuff, that is a way to stop the conversation and to let you cower into not demanding what is yours. Think about this. When you have a stockbroker who simply signs a piece of paper and make millions, when you have a garbage man that is running behind that truck, picking up your filth, picking up everything else that you, that you know, things that if it stays there, it is a, you know, it causes you ill. Then, you know, there's a problem. Is that stockbroker worth more than my garbage man? Not really. I used this example on my show 3 days ago on KPFT, and it went as follows. If I put a farmer and a business and a stockbroker on an island, a regular stockbroker on an island, the person that's worth more is the person who can come off of that island alive. And I guarantee you, the person coming off of that island alive won't be the stockbroker. It will be the farmer. The person who's working with his hands and, you know, and making us all fed. So we have to acknowledge our worth. Okay, we got to close this baby out pretty quickly. So let me ask John, let's start with Greg. Greg, give me a quick closer, please.
Thanks for doing what you do, Egberto. Thanks for having this opportunity to exchange ideas and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. Brother G, give me a quick closer.
Just want to say that I think you brothers do an awesome job. I will tune in again. I'll look for you on the web. And great job, brothers. Great job.
Thank you very much, Brother G. And let me go to Brother Jack.
Yeah, well, this is very interesting. I need to get involved more with the coffee party. And I know I the last few times you had the other Senate Texas thing, and I couldn't actually get through to you.
No problem, Jack. Jack, I got to run to the other caller, but I want to tell you thank you very much for being a dedicated a person coming to our show as well. And let me go to John. Give me a quick closer, John.
Yeah, it was a great show. Really enjoyed it. A great topic, and I just hope things turn around. I mean, right now, you know, again, I'm going to mention Bernie Sanders, because he's the greatest voice right now, changing people's views. And, I just hope he keeps getting the crowds and influencing more people and moving people in the right direction.
I think, sir, it's going to be done. And with all of us doing our part, we are doing our part, and we go out there and do our part, I think we are going to get the job done. I'm an eternal optimist, and this is not one of those fake optimisms that people just say, oh, I'm optimistic that it's going to happen. The reason I feel optimistic is I speak to people over and over again. On the road towards KPFT, on the road everywhere, I talk to people, and I hear that, you know, the crowds that Bernie Sanders is getting is not a fluke. People are starting to feel it. Whether they go out and vote is another thing. We have to keep the people's spirits up to let them know that they can make a difference. And when people start feeling that they can make a difference, they will make a difference. Folks, this has been one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm honored that you were here to listen to me. Let's do this again next week. I'll be at Netroots Nation. I'll try to do it from Phoenix. If not, I'll have somebody else cover our butts. And from then on, we'll simply move on. Again, this is Politics Done Right. And we are out for this weekend. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week.